Hi, everyone, and welcome to Advisor Edge, the GVA Way, a podcast series created for financial advisors navigating the complexities of transitioning from a traditional firm or considering branching out independently for the first time. This podcast will deliver clarity and expertise by answering common questions and guiding you through the services and support GVA provides during the transition process. From establishing your brand to building a client base and managing compliance, we'll provide the insights and resources you need to thrive in your new venture. GVA is a full-service, technology-driven RIA. We are 170 advisors strong across 18 states. We provide asset management, compliance, billing, compensation, insurance, brokerage, 401k services, technology, and more to our advisors. And everything we do is scalable for us and you as we place technology in the forefront. Perhaps what we hold to the highest regard is our dedication to the end user, our clients. We like to say we are a family of like-minded individuals who hold our clients' financial interests above our own. Thank you for joining us and welcome to the GVA Way. Episode number 9 of the GVA Way. I'm James Spinelli, the CEO of Great Valley Advisor Group. I have with me today Jeremy Holly, the EVP of LPL Capital Partners, and we're excited to talk through M&A, valuation, and a couple other hot topics as it relates to advisors who join GVA and who are part of the LPL financial ecosystem. So, Jeremy, why don't you give us a little bit about yourself, a little bit of background, sure. And what your role is at LPL Financial.
Sure. Well, thanks for having me, James. I run a group called LPL Capital Partners. I've been at LPL for a combined 20 years. I had a two-year break where I went and worked for a private equity-backed RIA and boomeranged back about a year and a half ago. Had lots of experience at LPL in the early days in the finance department, doing M&A. Then I moved over to the sales side and spent a lot of time on advisor M&A and succession planning, and then thinking of new ways that LPL could deliver different capital solutions to help our advisors. What we do at LPL Capital Partners, I like to say, is we develop novel solutions to help meet advisor needs throughout their life cycle. We essentially help them grow, protect, and unlock the value of their business.
That's great, yeah. And so a lot of the advisors that are with Great Valley Advisor Group today are obviously part of LPL Financial and are utilizing some of those services. So how are you seeing it from your seat in the position that you're in? The advisor can best take advantage of what your team has to offer.
Right, I think it starts with just being aware of all the different things we have. We're constantly thinking of new solutions and developing new solutions that meet advisor needs. And I think starting with, hey, what's available to me? What are all the different things that can help me and my business? And so we look at things that'll help advisors who are looking to grow. We're also develop solutions to help advisors take some chips off the table. Think about a way to partially monetize their business. We're also thinking about ways that help them protect their business through succession planning and ultimately to fully monetize their life's work through an exit, through an M&A transaction.
Got it. Yeah. And so I think when you look at those different scenarios and those different areas within the team itself, how are you looking at the additional support above and beyond that from what you're putting out there from, it looks like monthly marketing commentary around M&A, giving insights into valuations, mm-hmm. You know, talking about that M&A category, that's such a hot topic, right? I mean, when you talk about the RIA landscape, M&A is at the forefront. We hear, you know, if you follow any of the major outlets and you look at your inbox in the morning, mm-hmm. There's two or three names that are gonna constantly be coming across the wire, right?
Absolutely.
And so, how's LPL narrowing in on that and really focused in on getting in front of that, right?
Yeah, well, we've done a lot of work to understand what's going on out there. You're right, there's headlines every day. There's a lot of money that is trying to get into our space because it's really attractive businesses that our advisors run, that you all run. And so, you know, we're trying to make sure we understand what's happening out there, stay ahead of the trends and think about ways that we can deliver similar solutions to LPL and GVA advisors at the same time. So we do spend a lot of time looking at the market, thinking about ways that we can show up a little bit differently within the LPL ecosystem and developing those new solutions to meet those needs. And an example I'd give you is, you know, we found advisors looking for ways to again, look for partial liquidity. So we developed really three different solutions there that result in us either buying the small accounts from them and providing them with capital for that and capacity back in their day through partial book sales, making a revenue acquisition, so essentially buying down compensation a little bit and providing capital in exchange for that, or making a minority investment in the business for the larger businesses to help create aligned growth.
Got it, yeah, and that's one of the things that GVA took advantage of a couple years ago, right? And so
we just had a great meeting. We're sitting here, we're in Napa Valley in California, right? We have our annual conference going on here for our advisors. And we just talked about this earlier, right? And you can see once you bring up M&A, once you bring up valuations, once you start talking about this topic, people get engaged. And it was, I would say, of the overview of the conference itself, a lot of people were looking forward to this. So looking at valuation, how are you as an organization going about that? What are some of the key factors that an advisor would, you know, want to look at as their book, you know, the growth of it, the age, the clients? There's so many factors. What are some of those key metrics?
I think the key drivers of value, things that you think about when thinking about valuation of your business or looking at another business, look at the makeup of revenue. So recurring revenue, non-recurring revenue. Usually you're going to pay more for recurring revenue streams, you know, repeatable earnings, things like that. And so that's a key metric that you look at in valuation. So those with more recurring revenue generally get a higher valuation. Yep. You're also looking, you mentioned it, looking at the clients. Like, what's the age of the clients? Is it a younger book or is it an older book that's drawing down their assets? Sure. And so obviously, you know, think about the ends of the spectrum there. If it's a younger book that's still accumulating assets, you might assign more value to that than one that's maybe at the end of that spectrum and drawing down those assets, and you're actually, you know, lowering those assets each year. And so that's an important factor to look at.
Sure.
Another one is growth rate, right? So, like, you know, you look at the clients, but are they adding new households? Are they adding new assets, either through referrals or additional wallet share? So advisors, businesses that are growing, you're going to assign a higher premium to that in terms of valuation.
Yeah, and that's that net new assets number that everybody always talks about, right? Mm-hmm. That's a big factor. And so, you know, on a monthly basis through Advisor Bob, which we're using at Great Valley Advisor Group, we publish a valuation number that gives a ballpark estimate for the advisor. Just get an idea, what does that value of their book look like? What if I had to monetize today, where is it in the ballpark? Is it a fully formal valuation? No, but it's one that you can give some guide rails or, you know, some guide to what you're looking to do in the near future there. And it does bring up a lot of conversations around that, from succession planning, business continuity planning, all sorts of fun stuff. And then switching over to the financing piece of it, how does LPL get involved in the financing or not get involved in financing, right? So what do we look like there?
Well, over the years, we realized that there was an opportunity for us to actually leverage our balance sheet to help advisors grow through M&A, grow through other organic means. And so we wanted to make capital available to our advisors. But we're not a bank, as you know.
Correct.
And so I would say we have really good flexibility on our loan structuring and terms, but our interest rates, because we're not a bank, are probably not the most competitive. Nonetheless, we still make capital available to our advisors. Most advisors take us up on that offer and the M&A deals that we support. And so we've been able to, you know, help advisors close deals, provide that financing. It makes it's really easy to access capital with us.
Sure.
We understand the business. The advisors are on our platform. You don't have to write us a check. We just take it out of the fees and commissions. We work with firms like yours to pull that out of the fees and commissions to repay the loans.
Yep.
And so it's a simpler process. It may not be the best cost of capital for advisors, but what we also do is we help them explore other third-party options. And so I'm working on something right now where we're going to work with a potential bank to create a tri-party arrangement where we can actually back the loan, guarantee the loan on the advisor's behalf, and get really good terms and rates from a bank and be able to provide that as part of the process.
And I think from the selling advisor standpoint, they like to see that as well, right?
Yes.
I mean, a local bank. So we've been involved with multiple transactions, right, at the RIA level, and we've seen transactions done between advisors who are within our network. And honestly, that is such a big factor in the creditworthiness, the trust, you know, the trust factor that goes along with it. And if you're selling your practice, you probably want to have a pretty strong partner that's backing who the buyer is, right?
Absolutely. It is a big concern of the sellers. Can the buyer afford my business? Do they have the access to capital to do it? I don't want to go through the entire deal process. It is arduous.
Yeah.
It's a long process. Get all the way to the finish line and realize that the buyer doesn't have the money.
Correct.
No one wants to go do that and then remarket the practice. So absolutely, big component for the seller.
And so I think those are that's one of the factors that could have a deal blow up. Are there any other factors that you've seen come up with, you know, through the deal process where you'd say, maybe try to avoid these if you're looking to purchase or sell your business? Like these are some of the headwinds you're going to face. And if you can get in front of them in the LOI process or a little bit earlier on, maybe it helps your cause, you know, down the road to avoid that.
Yeah, the LOI process is really important. Getting to agree on terms, even if they're non-binding terms, but just laying them all out. And I think we talked about this earlier, but setting expectations, making sure you understand what the seller's timeline is, what their expectations are, making sure as a buyer you're setting the right expectations of what you want,
sure,
you're acquiring this business, what's going to happen post-transaction, what business is going to look like. The biggest thing we see when deals kind of go the wrong way or go sideways is when those expectations between buyer and seller, as far as the timing of when the seller is eventually going to exit, are not aligned. And so we find it gets strange when the seller's planning to hang on for a long period of time, the buyer wants them out, or vice versa. The seller wants to go right away, and the buyer hasn't had a plan to actually transition the client relationships, and that can create some attrition.
That's such a good piece too, and the selling advisor has spent so long. We talked about this at our piece earlier, building that business.
Yeah.
It's probably one of the biggest assets, if not the biggest, right? And so there's a lot that goes into it emotionally as well.
Totally.
So that's a big factor. So before we wrap this up, I always like to ask the question of, you know, from a personal standpoint, what does Jeremy Holley enjoy? What do you do outside of the world when you're not running LPL Capital Partners and heading in the right direction with this organization? What are you focused on?
Well, I enjoy exercising. I enjoy working out. I do CrossFit in my garage on most days. So I do enjoy getting out there and being active. I spend a lot of time with my kids and all their sports. I mean, I've told you this. I essentially spend my afternoons and weekends shuttling them around to baseball, to basketball, to soccer. My 17-year-old daughter's in drama and theater. And so most of my time is spent, you know, traveling from one event to another that my kids are doing.
Yeah.
So I don't have a ton of time for myself as much as I would like at this stage, but it's all about enjoying what you have right
exactly.
now. So that's what I do.
Great. Yeah. Well, thanks for joining in. LPL has been a fantastic partner for Great Valley Advisor Group, and we look forward to the many years of partnership.
So do we.
Yeah.
Thank you.
The opinions voiced in this podcast are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which strategies or investments may be suitable for you, consult the appropriate qualified professional prior to making a decision.